happen if instead of composing predetermined assignments, college composition students could compose whatever they want to compose? What would happen if students could set their own deadlines and grade their own work? Find out as Assistant Professor Mason Joyner and I explore these questions with a few of our fellow English department colleagues. I'm Monica Mankin, and this is the English 101 Experiment. Welcome to the English 101 Experiment Podcast. I'm Monica Mankin. I'm an associate professor of English at Delgado Community College. And today I'm happy to have two of Mason Joyner's students. I'm going to have you guys introduce yourselves. So
I'll go first. I'm Chloe. What do I say about myself? I don't know. I'm 20 years old. For now, I'm majoring in electrical engineering technologies. And
wow.
Yeah, that's for now, though. We don't know where that's going. It might go somewhere. It might go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, it's all right to explore.
Okay, I'm Rachel. I'm also 20 years old. My major is general studies. It's also like a for now major. I'm hoping to progress to something else in recent years, sooner years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting. So you're both in that same boat of exploring, figuring it out.
Yeah,
for sure.
So thinking back to last semester when you took Mason's class, how did you feel at the beginning of the semester when he announced that he wasn't going to assign you any essays to write?
For me, at first, it was like kind of exciting, but then I had to think about it and I was like, oh, wait, actually, this is kind of scary. Like, I don't know, I'm super indecisive, so it was just hard, like, realizing that I was going to have to make the decisions and someone wasn't just like, okay, this is what you're going to write, now go write it.
Yeah, I felt the exact same way. At first I was like, oh my God, this is kind of cool. Like, I can pick my own projects and prompts and everything. But then I got into it. Actually, like, I started off with like maybe three projects, like three pretty big projects, and I ended up with two. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the semester, I switched my second one at the very last minute because I'm just also very indecisive. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good to know. That's interesting for me to hear, too. As you know, I did this experiment as well. And so, yeah, we were worried about, like, those students that maybe when it's just a blank slate, you know, it can be kind of overwhelming. So how did you decide what you wanted to work on? What was that process like for you? And what were the projects that you ultimately created?
I automatically knew that I wanted to strengthen, like, my creative writing. Because especially, you know, public school, the curriculum is very set. And there's probably like 2 or 3 weeks out of the year where you get to write fun stuff. And it's just always something I've wanted to work on. And I've never like had a situation where I'm like, okay, now I have to work on this. So I never did. It wasn't anything I did in my free time. But I automatically knew I wanted to like write some poems and stuff. And then I was in talented theater for like pretty much all of my life. And I wrote like a short play in high school, like my senior year, or no, my junior year. And I really enjoyed it, and it was something I was really proud of, so I kind of wanted to experience that again. So I wrote, like, a very long play. So that was fun. And then I wrote an anthology. I think it was, like, 8 poems, monologues, and such.
So that was for Professor Joyner's class, Mason's class?
Yes.
You wrote the monologue poems and then a play?
Yeah.
So what was it that you read? So just for our listeners, at the end of the last semester, we had some students share their projects with my, you know, with each other. So Mason's class joined my class. So what was it that you read during that?
That was actually like the first piece that I had done for my anthology. And it was, it's something that I wrote because I like dyed my hair. I don't know. It was kind of like a religious experience for me because I, a few months before, got out of a 3-year relationship with someone who really, he limited my self-expression. Mm-hmm. So it was just, I don't know, it was a moment where I just reconnected with myself in a way that I hadn't for like years. Mm-hmm. So I like dyed my hair and then I sat down and I wrote it in like 10 minutes. and like I barely edited it and it was just like perfect. I'm so proud of it. But
that's
it was,
nice when that happens.
Yeah, no, it was just really good. And like even now I still read that to people. I read it to someone like a few weeks ago and it made her cry.
Oh.
And it makes me want to cry when I like think about it really hard.
I remember it being a very powerful piece.
I want to hear it now.
Yeah. Maybe we should have another podcast episode where y'all can come read your projects. That would be cool.
Yeah,
I would love that.
So can you tell us, Rachel, about yours? What did you end up composing?
So clearly Chloe and I have a lot of similarities because I also wrote like a collection of poems. It was probably like 10 to 15 maybe, all about like different things ranging from like just being like a black woman, being a woman. A lot of them, like the theme was being a woman, I would say, but it ranges. And then my next one was about my first year of college experience, which was not here at Delgado. It was in Atlanta at Spelman College. And I chose to write about that because it wasn't a great experience for me, and it was something that I was kind of like pushing to the side. I wasn't really addressing my feelings and how, you know, I went about the situation. So I really do appreciate being able to choose what we got to write about, because it allowed me to not only like express my creativity with poems, because that's something that I also like to do. I figured that out 2 years ago, and I never did it because I just didn't have like the opportunity. But his class gave me the opportunity to do both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's crazy, because like the play I wrote was also like processing my trauma from like the year before. Yeah, because I moved to Wisconsin for like 8 months with my ex-boyfriend, same one from the poem I wrote. And it was like a situation where I wasn't addressing my feelings the whole time.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of ignoring the way I felt and just getting through it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very healing experience, like being able to like sit down and process that.
Yeah.
Like 8 months after.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing, is that for you, maybe you discovered how writing can help you turn those feelings into something
definitely
meaningful, and then maybe be able to move through on to the next phase of life. I wonder, like, so what else did you learn about writing through this course? What is like a memorable lesson or moment from class time that you recall?
Well, we're in his class again, actually.
Okay.
And it's crazy, like, to me, because now whenever I have like a writing assignment, it's not something that I dread anymore. It's something that I know that I can like express myself and like kind of have a little bit of fun with it. And I don't know, I look forward to writing a lot more now. And
that's awesome.
It's definitely like so much different than any other English class experience I've had before.
Yeah, that's cool. So what about you?
I feel the same way. Something that I actually struggle with is like procrastination, like quite a lot. I still do, honestly. But in his class last semester, he put emphasis on like creating an action plan and like following that, which I didn't do very well. But it's something that I definitely keep in mind and try to create for not only my like composition projects, but like for other classes as well. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious if there were any points at which you felt lost in the course.
Yeah, definitely. I would say like like I said, I started off with like two project ideas, one of them, which I didn't go through with. I ended up replacing it with my documentation of how I felt about like my first college experience. Yeah, so I felt pretty lost because my original attempt was to like document a workout journey and like proving to myself like determination and discipline and all that. And I didn't do it. I started for like a week and then it'd fall off. I'd mess up and then I'd restart it for a week. And then at the time that I restarted and fell off again, it was like crunch time and I didn't have any more time to finish my original like proposition.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that is definitely when I felt a little bit lost, but it worked out in the end because like I said, it allowed me to open up about my suppressed feelings about my college experience.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I was just conferencing with some of my own students today and they were like struggling with the topic for research, and I'm like, sometimes it's okay to struggle and think that you want to do this one thing and then you start working on it and it's not going in the right direction or you lose interest. And so it's okay to have that experience of figuring it out. Yeah. So I know conferencing is a big part of what we do with this approach because we don't want people to feel lost, you know, and we are kind of really looking to you for what it is that we want to teach and share and guide and how to guide you. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what the conferencing part of the experience was like for you. How did the conferences help you during the course?
I think there were really good like checkpoints because, like I said, again, I am a horrible procrastinator. So like knowing that I had a conference coming up, it really helped me to like not show up empty-handed and wait for everything until the end of the semester. So that's what really helped me, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely say the same. If it wasn't for those, I definitely would have put it all off till the very end. Okay. I definitely put like most of the work off till the very end anyways, but
well, that's good to know. Do you feel that everyone did an equal amount of work in your class?
I think so.
Okay.
I do.
I don't know about that.
Your face was great.
But not to say that like I'm better than everyone, but I wrote so much, and I think that just like has a lot to do with the fact that I wrote a play. I totaled it at the end, like after my anthology in the play, and then the like reflection essay we did at the end. And I think I wrote like 13,000 words.
Wow.
Which, yeah. So I don't think.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that changes my opinion.
I don't know if anyone else wrote that much, but I know there was probably definitely a few people who just saw it as like an opportunity to put in the least amount of effort possible.
Yeah,
that's true.
But like, I'm not that type of person. I don't know. I've always been like an overachiever.
Mm-hmm.
And
same.
Yeah, I like set the bar really high, and then like we were getting close to the end, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to finish all this. Mm-hmm. So I had to like reassess what my goals were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so how many words did you write?
I don't even know how many words I wrote. Like my the way that I shared my college experience prompt was like I did a blog, so I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Did you all have any conversations with each other about what you were working on?
Yeah, there were like in-class workshops that mm-hmm. were pretty fun to see what everyone else was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was also really helpful for me. I was very like unsure with what I was doing, and like I sat there after I wrote something and I would like read it back to myself and I'd be like, this kind of sucks, I kind of hate this. But then like going into class and like having my classmates be like, no, this is like really good. And I was like, wait, really? And then I'd be like, no, I see what you're talking about. It is good. So it was definitely like really helpful being able to like see what everyone else was doing and have them like give me feedback too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
For sure.
Reassurance, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a blog.
Mm-hmm.
So is your blog published? Like we could go to it and read your work?
Yes.
All right. That's pretty cool.
I have to get back to you on like the title and everything because I have the worst memory like ever. So.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. But yeah, so did you, Chloe, publish?
I put it like I recorded like videos of me saying all the pieces I wrote for the anthology, and I put it on YouTube. Because I was just going to make it into a website and put it, like, on a Google website or something. But I wrote it all to my parents, and my parents were like, I think you need to, like, record it and post it because so much of it is, like, just influenced by how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how I read it has, like, a lot to do with, I think, maybe not the message that people get from it, but just, like, the overall feeling they walk away with.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, that's a good observation about the way that's spoken language has a different effect than when we're just reading it on the page.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you feel about having to publish your work or to actually deliver it to a real audience?
I didn't feel very great about it, honestly.
No, that was like annoying. I was like, come on.
Because I was like,
so much.
I don't want everybody in my business. I was like,
right. Mm-hmm.
I didn't want everybody to know about like my troubles in college. But at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? This may or may not be helpful to someone going through the same thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, maybe. Maybe it'll work out.
Yeah. I had similar thoughts and feelings, and I think also just a whole point of the experiment was to be able to put yourself in a vulnerable situation because that's going to help you grow.
I wonder, did knowing that you were going to have to deliver it to a real audience, what effect, I guess, did that have on your writing process or how you were approaching the work that you were trying to create?
So, again, like I said, I think I'm more of, like, a private person. So knowing that I was going to, like, share that with people, it made me, like, not pour all of myself into it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's something I need to work on. But like, yeah, I think that's how it would have affected me, knowing that people would know how I felt. And I'd rather keep things to myself. Mm-hmm. So
I have a chronic oversharing problem, so it didn't affect me like that. But the part, like, the play is really what I put all my business into, so I didn't have to, like, publish that, thankfully. But with the anthology, I wanted other people to know, because my overall theme ended up being, like, just happiness, living a fulfilling life.
Yeah. Well, that's really great. So are you continuing to write? Do you think even after you are, I don't know, outside of school, I guess finished with school, do you think writing will be a part of your life?
We were actually talking about this earlier. I've been, definitely not as much as like when we were in class doing it, but I have been just like using writing as a form of like expression and like a way to deal with my emotions.
I think I definitely need to take a page out of your book, because I do, again, I suppress a lot of things and I don't really write until I need to. Like, on the occasion, again, like, poems is something that I enjoy doing, but the class gave me the opportunity to do it. But after it, I kind of fell off. Like, I'll maybe get, like, a spurt of writing, like, every now and then, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do. I think I try to keep a journal myself, especially when I feel like I'm struggling with something. But it can be hard to carve out that time to just sit down with yourself and be there for it. So I understand.
Yeah. And it's hard too. Like, I think a lot of people grow up and they learn to suppress the uncomfortable emotions and just try to ignore them instead of confronting them.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that doing that is just very, it just like pushes off the pain and prolongs it. So it's very helpful to me to be able to have another tool to like process my emotions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. How in any way did the experiment or this approach to writing education, I guess, how has it helped you in your other courses in the more academic, I guess, meeting the more academic demands that other classes might have?
I have a similar answer to what I said previously. The action plan thing that did you incorporate that in your class
as well?
I did,
yes.
Yeah, so that has helped me keep in mind, like, about my my due dates and everything and, like, the process I need to be taking in order to not have it all, like, build up and wait till the last minute. Yeah, I think that would be the most thing that impacted me.
Mm-hmm. Good to know, because I like it, but, I you know.
Yeah,
like,
it's
I don't
hard to
be
keep
making
up with sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely think that it just kind of helped me realize that, like, education can be fun and you don't have to take everything so seriously.
Mm.
So, yeah, in my other classes, I've definitely been having a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's just because I am so silly all the time. But it's just, I have fun in school now.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, definitely a lot more than in high school.
What was that video he had us watch in the beginning with this actor guy? And he was like, play the fool.
Yeah.
That one, that was a really, I don't.
Ethan Hawke?
Yes.
Yeah, his talk on creativity.
Great video. That actually helped me. That was in the beginning of the semester. And after I like watched that video, I went home and like drew and sketched, because that's something I do as well. But I like put it off a lot of the times. I put a lot of stuff off, as you can probably tell. But like that, his approach to like teaching us and like making it fun, like Chloe said, I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a powerful video for me as well, just like recognizing that it's okay to not be right all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we understand that we don't have to be right, it gives us a lot more creative freedom.
For sure.
And people get scared to like do new things because they don't want to fail. Mm-hmm. But it's okay to fail. That's how you learn.
Yeah, you have that growth mindset that to get better at something. Yeah, I love that talk that Ethan Hawke gives. It's very like life affirming, and that art is so important to our lives, even though I think it is something that kind of gets shoved to the side for other reasons. But so as a final, kind of a final wind down here, I wonder, do you have any advice for future students who might take our courses and be faced with the same kind of situation that you were, where they are asked to kind of design their own projects?
I'd say use it to your advantage. Take the class as an opportunity to do things you don't normally do or things you may have wanted to do but didn't have the time for. Yeah, I'd say that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd just say to try to have fun with it. With public school curriculum, it's definitely, like, we don't enjoy doing the things that they're trying to teach us. Like, I don't like reading Shakespeare because of the way they taught Shakespeare, but it's just an opportunity to, like, view writing for what it should be, I think.
And what should it be?
It should be fun. It should be, like, a form of self-expression. Mm-hmm. And I think we all could use a little more self-expression.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, we really appreciate you taking time to come and talk today about your experience. And I hope English 102 is going well for you both.
It is.
And that you're having fun there.
It really is.
Yeah.
So as the journey continues.
It's a lot more fun now, too, because, like, everyone's participating a lot more.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, last semester, it's like...
It was so dead.
Yeah, like, no one else wanted to speak. And then it's just like, I don't want to be the only one answering these questions.
Yeah. And it's so hard. We know we have no control over how the dynamic will be. But I'm glad that you have a lively group and there's more participation and... interaction with your peers. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to add?
I don't.
Nah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for being here today, and thank you, listener. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the English 101 Experiment. Special thanks to Christopher Nicotera, instructor of music business at Delgado Community College, for his recording assistance. All music heard during this episode comes from the Free Music Archive. Specific titles and artists are listed on the English 101 Experiment website.